Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres are off today. They're back at it for Rob Ray night on Friday with Nashville coming in. The Amerks are kicking off 3-4 nights tonight at home against Utica. They also have a live auction going right now for these incredible jerseys. Marty, I don't think there's a team in sports that has done jerseys better than the Amerks. Their traditional uniform is absolutely elite. Their specialty jerseys, which usually number between 6 and 8 on any given season, are amazing. This latest one is Rock the Riverway Night. It's presented by the American Diabetes Association. The auction is live for the next couple of days, and it is also a stunner. And if I was to give you one guess as to which player's jersey is leading the auction right now, which player do you think that would be?
Devin Levi.
Yes, by a landslide. Look at you, man. What, are you on Jeopardy
my
next?
My trivia has been like, last night I went 6 for 6 on the hat trick trivia. Now I'm 1 for 1. I feel like I have been, it probably all started with the hot dog. Again, hot dog of the day yesterday fueled me for at least 24 hours.
Go to Amerks.com, check out the jerseys, and bid, support. But most importantly, take in the Amerks here. 3 of the next 4 days, they're in action. They're home tonight against Utica. They're hosting Syracuse on Friday. They're at Syracuse on Saturday. Then the trio, Levi,
yep,
Roseanne, and Murray have to jet across the country, take part in the skills competition in Coachella Valley on Sunday night, play in the All-Star Classic on Monday. Thankfully, the Amerks don't play till Friday after that, so they can get back and, have
I hope their travel's better than Kulik and Roseanne last year, mm-hmm, who did not get, it was San Jose, right? Barracuda. So they, yeah, got there, their equipment didn't get there, they missed everything the first day. And also, can I tell you a quick little story about my experience at the AHL All-Star Classic in 1999? Mm-hmm. So, it's in Philadelphia. Like, isn't there an easier travel than to go from Buffalo to Philly, a direct flight that is like probably 8 of them a day, right? Especially back in those days when what was it? US Airways was doing the shuttle between Buffalo and Philly or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, the AHL decided to book me on a flight to Wilmington, Delaware, and then get in a van to go from Wilmington to Philly. So I get that trip, right? Why not Philly? But anyway, I get in. Everything is fine. We have our fun. We're good. Then on my way back, our taxi driver could not find the Wilmington airport. So we end up in this like side little private airport. They're like, what are you guys doing here? We've ended up finding the airport. We missed our flight. We ended up having to drive back to Philly, to the airport in Philly, get on a flight in Philly so we can, just a disaster of travel, right? Like you're thinking, I could have probably Ubered. There was no Uber back in 99, but from Philly to Buffalo in less time. I put in like 6 hours in a van just to go from Buffalo to Wilmington, drive around, come back to Philly, and then fly back to Buffalo. It was awful.
So how was your experience?
I think I have it on tape too, because I just gotten one of those video camera and I was like documenting the whole thing. So like this poor cab driver, we felt like we were in the Twilight Zone. Like he stopped on the side of the highway on the left side, not the right side, the right shoulder, on the left shoulder to ask for directions. And it was just a disaster. I have all of this documented on video somewhere.
Oh.
I thought we were going to die. I thought we were either going to get kidnapped, get like in an accident, or literally like die.
Unreal. The MB43 Chronicles coming to Netflix at some point within the next 10 years. What are you holding out for? How big a payday do you need for this?
For what?
For your work to appear on Netflix. How much do you need to get paid by Netflix to have this exclusive behind the scenes content shown to the world?
So, I think that it's more about how much they want me to pay and what I'm willing to go for them to produce it. So that's the problem right now.
Okay. Carolina, Colorado produced the biggest trade in a while. At the end of last week, the biggest loser in the deal has been the New York Rangers. They have lost consecutive games to Colorado and to Carolina, with all parties involved getting on the score sheet in some way or another.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, and it is... It's tough for the Rangers, obviously. You know, they were on a really good run. And now, like you described earlier, when looking at the Eastern Conference standings, you lose two games in a row, and all of a sudden you feel like you're one of the middling teams once again, and you're unable to get to that exact spot that you've been chasing for quite some time. However, Carolina and Colorado will remain the talking points moving forward. Mm-hmm. I didn't phrase it very well yesterday when I was... trying to put into context Carolina going for Gensel the year before, what he actually accomplished with them, and contrasting his production, regular season, but more importantly, postseason, career-wise, with that of Mikko Rantanen. Gensel has actually scored at a higher rate of goal scoring in the playoffs than Rantanen. But Rantanen, of course, is a perennial 100-point player, which Gensel is not, and Rantanen has produced at exactly that 100-point level in his postseason career. Mm-hmm. So it was a no-brainer for you to answer, like, Rantanen's the better player. But what's different is that Gensel's career was crafted by not being a 1 or 1A on the team he was with. Maybe Rantanen, same thing. People look at MacKinnon. They look at McCarr,
Landeskog.
But are we now looking at Rantanen differently? And does he assume the spotlight, even though the team still has Aho and others? Does Rantanen become the talking point on this Carolina team? And because that would mark the first time in his career that he's faced that spotlight, do you think he'll be able to match the production that he's had in his career?
Yeah, I think he'll match the production. But okay. I think Carolina is the type of team that they don't really have players. Well, in a way, they don't have players to take the spotlight, even though we see Zvechnikov with the lacrosse goal and all of that. But it's not about that, right? It's about the team and how you play as a team. How do you suffocate the New York Rangers yesterday and Freddie Anderson gets a shutout? And you're like... okay, do they have the goaltending in Carolina? But when you play like that, yeah, you're going to have the goaltending because your goalie is going to make a couple of saves a game and it works. And Rantanen, for me, fits that persona so well. Like, he can perform at a high level, but he's never going to say, look at me. Like, watch me perform. And I'm not saying that's a negative, but Nathan MacKinnon is, look at me. Kale McCarr is, look at me. There's players like that in the league that are, look at me, and Rantanen is not. And Rantanen fits that persona in Carolina with Aho and Svechnikov and others that is more like, hey, we'll get our job done, we'll produce, and you know, at the end you'll talk about the team. So I think that works. And maybe that's why Marty Natchez was always thought of the player that was going to be moved in the summertime and is the player that got moved now because, well, through his dad, had given an interview, was basically saying, he doesn't get power play. He doesn't get this. It was more, look at me. Look at me did not fit in Carolina, and Rantanen is not a look at me type of guy, even though he'll continue to perform.
You know what's changed for me since the trade?
Taylor Hall?
No. I don't think Rantanen's going to stay in Carolina.
Yeah, there has been more people that are saying it's not going to be a long-term partnership. I believe it is. I believe Carolina understands that what money is coming off the books and what money they can give me.
I don't think it's going to matter, the money.
Yeah, but I
think he's going to go to a huge market. You need to tell me which one he's going to.
I need to tell you right now?
Well, I mean, I would love for you to tell me right now. But, I mean, is it the Rangers? Is it Chicago? Is it insert team name here?
Those were the first two teams I thought of. But then my thinking is, how much does Mikko Rantanen like to win? And I'm not saying that the Rangers are not a team that will win. I think the Rangers would probably like a Mikko Rantanen to come in and give him, you know, the performances that he's done. I don't see Chicago being that team next year and the year after to be like, I think Chicago is a mess. I think Chicago is an absolute mess. And I think we're going to be talking about Connor Bedard for 4 or 5 years. And when is Chicago going to be getting it right? I think Chicago is going to take a while.
Any other teams?
Oh, off the top of my head, could Minnesota be a team that would get in there because they're losing all that Parise and Suter money next year? I know they have other players that they have to consider, but if a player like, you know, Mikko Rantanen is available, can you imagine Rantanen and Kirill Kaprizov and, you know, Marco Rossi and those guys? Like, I think Minnesota would be a team that could make a splash in there. I think Bill Guerin is aggressive. I think Bill Guerin is a no-nonsense type of guy. And if he sees an opportunity, he'll go get it. So I think that would be one. Montreal could be another. A team like Montreal saying, hey, they've got Caulfield and Suzuki, but can they part ways with Kirby Dach? And can they say, hey, a Mikko Rantanen player would fit really good in that structure there?
I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah. I like those. Again, like, I don't know the player enough to say, what does he want? Like,
they have over 15 million alone coming off the books in Ben, Duchesne, Dadonov. Like, it's too easy. Cap going up.
Yeah, I can see that. I can obviously see teams that want to make a splash. Look, I can see Tampa Bay saying, you know what? Let's try to move some money around. Let's try to get a Mikko Rantanen. Right now, Tampa is not a good team. Mm-hmm. Tampa has Kucherov is a good player. They have Braden Point who's a good player. They have Hagel that's playing well, but they're not a good team. And they just lost to Chicago. I see that they need to bring in more to help them move forward. Unfortunately, they won so much that they had to pay a lot of players a lot of money and give them no movement clause and all of that. But I can see Tampa, a team that's saying, look, Florida is down the road and Florida won the cup and we need to get back there. Let's make a move.
What do you make of the Haskinen injury last night sustained at the hands of Mark Stone in Vegas?
I think it was an unfortunate incident. People are saying Mark Stone threw himself into the legs of Miro Heiskanen and that was a dirty play. I don't see it that way. I see a stick of Roope Hintz that kind of taps the toe, the left toe of Mark Stone. Looks like he's toe picking, wants to make a play on the puck as the body's going forward and you're losing your balance and you're toe picking and you're falling forward. You're still trying to get your stick on the puck and he unfortunately got tangled up with Miro Heiskanen's leg. Like, nobody, There's not one NHL hockey player that would think this is the way to go after a defenseman. Tackle them into the legs. That was just a toe pick and an unfortunate incident. I don't see much more than that.
Brutal. Either way, we'll await an update on Heiskanen, and it could be devastating for Dallas, a team that ended up winning last night thanks to a Wyatt Johnston hat trick, including the overtime winner against Vegas, a Vegas team that has now lost 8 of the last 11. New Jersey has lost 10 of 14. He sure is out week to week. What do the Devils do as we get closer to the trade deadline? And do you think that the trade deadline is actually not going to be the deadline this year because idle hands of general managers with no players of their own to watch during the free agent, pardon me, the Four Nations frenzy? Don't you anticipate there being a bunch of trades in February? Because
I'm thinking like everybody's like, going to do their homework during the Four Nations face-off.
And then homework. When you submit it. Like, I mean, wouldn't
well,
you,
I don't know if, that. It, I think the week after, I think the first week. So the Sabres, for example, come back. Their last game is on February the 8th, and then they come back on February the 22nd. That's 2 weeks. I think everybody's going to have their scenarios done for 2 weeks. Players come back. And then the last week of February, you could see a lot of fireworks a week before the trade deadline.
Well, I would say this. Wouldn't it make more sense to acquire someone when no one's playing, allow them family time to get things settled, travel without haste, and get settled in a new city and come out of the break having practiced, having been with your new team? To me, that makes sense. And for some teams, every game it's critical when it comes to the standings. So why not give yourself a best chance? But hey, that's just me.
It does make sense. I just think that a lot of teams' personnel are either going to be scouting and being on the road. Like, you may wait until everybody comes back, get together, and explore all the options that are on the table.
Well, the other thing is, always cap consideration and the actual days that you have to pay somebody.
Yeah.
And so that's why with a deadline in place, you can
teams
project.
Would want to trade players so they can get them off their caps, but the teams acquiring them may have to wait.
Yeah. Busy week at KeyBank Center, and it got off on the right foot last night with a lopsided Buffalo win over Boston. We'll talk more about that when we come back on Sabres Live.